This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello. You're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and that means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf. And I'm going to be telling you all about animal news today because there is so much of it. I can't get over how much the animals are in the news. But, well, to kick it off, I'm going to tell you about a crazy old pig. But before I get to the crazy pig, and it's a good one, I wish I got video, really, of what this pig got up to. But before I do that, I guess I should say, Happy Canada Day, everybody. And in light of it being Canada Day while I'm making this show, July 1st, and coming up, it'll be July 4th very soon. You'll be hearing this show this week and next, and, well, maybe you don't realize how much of the music you love is actually Canadian. So I'm just going to slip in a little snippet here and there when I feel like it during today's show. Okay, so the first item in the news is this pig in Australia. He stole 18 beers from campers. He got drunk and he fought a cow. And I have a picture of him, and he looks like you wouldn't want to mess with this drunken pig. So when you're camping, store your food, store your beer, store everything. You might need a bear. The way we do it here for bears is you put it in a contraption and you kind of hang it from a tree, but it has to be done so they can't get to it from the tree. It's a little tricky. I don't think you can put your food in your car and lock your car. Bears are very good at opening cars. Very, very good. So, and yeah, or smashing through sunroofs or destroying doors. It's probably not the best idea to put the food in the car. All right, especially if you're in bear country. And you know what? Since we're talking about bears, I'm going to go to another bear story. And there's a bear called Tex. He's been named that. He has been relocated by the authorities twice already, unsuccessfully. He keeps returning to Texada Island, a very small place with a lot of people considering how small it is, but not so many people. But it's too dense to have a grizzly bear. So now they're deciding, do we relocate him again, a third time? And there's a no-kill order. They're not allowed to kill him. But do they relocate him? He keeps coming back. And he is quite the menace. He hasn't hurt anybody yet, but he's terrifying people. So what do you do? Well, they've got this First Nations Aboriginal group, First Peoples group, who want to adopt him and want to move him and want to take him into a territory that has no humans and some grizzlies. But it's only 100 miles away. So they think that's far enough. I'm going to bet that bear comes back. You heard it here. I'm betting the bear comes back. 100 miles is not a lot for a bear. And if they dump him someplace where there's already grizzlies, and he's not the biggest, meanest, toughest one, he better hit the road. So he will. And he'll go back to Tuxedo Island. But there's no competition. And I don't know what they're going to do with this bear. But hopefully they'll come up with a solution that keeps people safe and the bear too. Okay. So I told you last time, or a few shows ago, about a poodle, a little poodle who took on a bear. Well, that same poodle, just to set the record straight, has not had the overall personality transformation that I thought. She went from cuddle muffin to bear fighter in an instant. And now, I notice, about 2 days after she aggressively stood up to the bear with a fence in between them, but not a very good fence, and she totally stood up to this bear. A couple days later, I notice her cowering and wincing and hiding from a very elderly, not so nice cat, house cat. So the pecking order is not like you think. Just because the dog is above the bear in its mind doesn't mean that the cat is not still something to be feared. Cats do have sharp claws and quick reactions. And if they make an impression on a puppy when it's very, very young, the puppy never forgets. So that's what's going on with Polka Dot. She thinks she's more afraid of a little old cat, really old cat, miserable cat. She's more afraid of that cat than she is the bear. So go figure on that one. And they're supposed to be the smartest dogs. All right, everybody, we're going to go to break and come back and talk a little more about animals in the news. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. My heart goes out to the people in California dealing with the wolf fire. I know that's my name, so I really noticed, Deborah Wolf, I really noticed when they started talking about the wolf fire. There was a fire up here in a town called Lytton, all around there. A town that had burnt down a few years back from a fire and still hasn't been rebuilt. And luckily, last night, the local band and the local authorities worked together all night long and they got the fire contained in Lytton. So well done, everybody. It's amazing when they do that. And I just hope we can get a handle on the fires raging, hurting all the animals and the people all over the world. And there's got to be a solution to this that we're not implementing yet. So I'm hoping we'll figure that out really soon. Okay, so I told you all about ticks. And now I'm going to go on and tell you about a squirrel. Do you believe it? They had to send fire crews and a crane truck and all the whole bells and whistles to get a squirrel. Squirrel who'd run up a tree. Something is wrong with this picture. Why would someone adopt a squirrel? And then once adopting a squirrel, why would you put it in a situation where it could get up a tree, it can't come down? And was it really up there stuck? I don't know. I think squirrels are amazing climbers. And usually, if an animal, like a squirrel, that's meant for climbing, can go up, it can also go down. So I was watching the footage of this big rescue, and it really occurred to me that the reason the squirrel was not coming down was because of all the fuss. So if all the trucks went away, I think the squirrel would have come down, especially if there was a nice meal at the bottom of the tree and his owner sitting there calmly. Sometimes we get a little bit hysterical about our pets, even our squirrel pets. Got to think it calmly through. Okay, so today is Canada Day, and almost no one around here is working, but I am working. So here's my first Canadian song. I am working because I'm taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. Yeah, that's a Canadian song. You might not know that, but it is. And, you might think it's an ordinary day. Hey, 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 it's an ordinary day. But it's not. It's not an ordinary day. It's Canada Day, the birthday of our country. And it's worth celebrating. We have more lakes than all the rest of the world's lakes combined in our one country. That's pretty amazing. Our water is so good and so pure, and there's so much of it. And as long as we protect it, we'll have it for all of you. And maybe there can be some lessons learned about all this. I know the beavers are really integral in protecting our wetlands and helping us with this. And in so many places, the natural helpers are killed off. And then people wonder why they have so many problems. But there's got to be a time when we all get in balance and we start figuring this out. So that reminds me of another Canadian song. A song that I think really encaptures, it's not supposed to, it's not about dogs. But this song, I think, really, this is how dogs live. We're here for a good time, not a long time. So have a good time. Sun can't shine every day. That's how dogs live. When you think about it, they live a tenth what we normally live. So every year is like 10 years to them. Every experience, like a beach trip, is like 10 beach trips for you. If you leave them alone and you go away for a week, that's like 10 weeks. Because it's a larger percentage of their life. That's why it's such a big deal when you come home from work every day. It's not like 8 hours. It's like 80 hours in compared to how much time they have left. if you spend a Christmas with your dog, well, they only get 10 Christmases, usually, maybe 11 or 12. So this is how they live. They're here for a good time, not a long time. So have a good time. The sun can't shine every day. Another great Canadian song. All right, so I'm going to go to break and talk a little bit more about dogs and cats when we get back. A little bit of behavior. An Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And that imprinting I was kind of hinting at the start, where the poodle is still afraid of the cat, even though she's decided she's willing to take on a bear and is brave enough to do that. But yet that cat, no, gonna give that cat a wide berth when coming around the corner in the kitchen. So that's the kind of thing. When they're 3 to 6 months, dogs, and cats too, actually, get imprinted. They learn, and ducks and birds and all, well, birds even more earlier stage. They learn who's mom, who they are, who they should be afraid of, who they should trust, what kind of situations are normal, what kind of situations are to be feared or at least to be analyzed and understood because they're so unfamiliar. So they basically learn what's safe in that 3 to 6 month period. And so if a dog has a bad reaction, say they get an experience where there's people drinking and loud, and at the same time they get stepped on. Well, they may think later on, a dog, cat, kitten, puppy, instead of an adult dog thinking, oh, that was just the once, or that was just that person, or that was just getting stepped on, they might associate the whole feel of it, the whole smell of it, the taste of it, everything about that experience as being dangerous. So they might not even realize they were stepped on. They might think they were beaten. And they might take a real negative memory out of it and think parties are dangerous or beer is dangerous or whatever it is, you know, that say that they smelt last when it happened. Tacos are dangerous, they might think. It's possible, although unlikely, because normally dogs do recognize food. But they might think a taco party, if that's where the incident happened, is dangerous. Or a kid's birthday party is typical. Something bad will happen at a kid's birthday party and the dog will forever be afraid of weird things like balloons and streamers and birthday cake and singing even. So really what you got to do when your dog's had an experience that's negative, maybe a car backfired just as you were walking by, or you had to take them on a really, really long ride and it was way too long, make sure right after you undo that experience. So if I took my dog on a 17-hour car ride, we stopped as much as I could, but we were in a hurry and it was too much and he was too little, I'd make sure to take him on lots of short trips right after. Little quick trips to the park, trips to places he knows, maybe even put him in the car, go around the block, come home again, just to show him that car doesn't always mean that experience. And the same thing with anything else. If it was an umbrella that fell on his head, go for a walk with an umbrella. If he's terrified of umbrellas, we'll start with the umbrella on the other side of the room. And then, you know, make the umbrella in the middle of the room. And just go about your business like it's nothing. You're not reacting to it. Eventually, when he can walk by it, walk around it, isn't all freaked out by it, then take it with you on a walk. So what I'm saying is you undo this bad idea by proving to them slowly, calmly, that they're wrong. It's not the umbrella that hurt you. It's umbrellas are harmless. It's only when it falls on you that it hurts you. It's not every dog at the dog park you have to be afraid of because the last time you were there, you got beat up. No, let's go to the dog park with a few friends you already like. Let's go visit and tell them to meet us there. Call them in advance. Set it up so your next dog park experience is awesome. Or maybe go in the middle of the night when there's nobody there, right? Or bring a dog that your dog trusts as his protector. His best friend who's twice his size, go with him, right? Set it up so that your dog experiences that park in a good way a bunch of times and you can undo that initial experience. And the same is true for country dogs who move to the city. That's one that can be a problem because they just, you know, they're used to roosters. They're used to maybe trains in the distance. They're used to the wildlife and the sounds of the birds in the morning, maybe traffic passing on a highway nearby, but they're not used to the bustle. They're not used to people. They're not used to the sounds of the neighbors. They're not used to the sounds and the sights of a busy street or a school bus pulling up and a whole bunch of kids piling out of it, or even just a regular bus and people waiting for the bus, or a crosswalk. All these things totally overwhelm a country dog. So go slow. Take that dog to the busy places when they're not so busy, right? Go slow. Use your leash. Keep your dog close so they're calm, so they know you're okay, they're okay, you're together, everything's all right. So you don't want the dog spooking from a sound he's never heard before. So you need to take the time for these puppies and kittens to get to experience everything. So let's say you've got a kitten who didn't get a lot of handling in that period. So now it's really shy or aloof. But that doesn't mean that's its actual personality. It just didn't learn to trust. So what do you do with that? Well, you make it a really confined area at first. Not the whole house. One little room with litter box and food and water. And you shut the door when you're not there. So no other pets or kids or people are bugging the animal. The washer isn't going on. The dryer isn't going on. The air conditioning isn't going. There's nothing scary happening in that room. It can be a really small room. It can. And then you visit and you make your visits great. You come in and if the cat is hiding from you, you may need a smaller space. So there's less place to hide. But basically, over time, your cat will warm up. It will want to come out to be fed and, you know, you'll be able to touch it a little bit. Chances are you've already bonded with this one cat, which is why you brought it home anyway. And it's only bonding with you and not other people. So how do you get it to bond with the other people? Well, you set that up, like I just said, and you have other people, one person at a time, come in with you and just sit with you. Maybe you have a couple chairs in there. Maybe you play cards. Maybe you watch TV in there. Maybe you sit on your phones in there. It doesn't really matter what you do. You're just showing the cat that around us, you're safe. Around me, this is my friend. This is my daughter, whatever. This is a good vibe. We're in tune and we're in sync and there's no problems here. And eventually the cat will want to come out for attention, for food, for treats. You can do the food only when they come out for attention. You can use food that way and just be petting the cat a little bit more each time, a little bit more each time. Now, I get frustrated. I always want to rush this. So I end up wrapping the cat in a really thick blanket and then I hold it and then I love it and I love it and I love it and I love it and I love it very gently with baby tip fingers, but tons of thinking loving thoughts and saying its name and just teaching it that even held by me, which cats don't tend to like, even confined, it's safe. And that will speed up the process quite a bit. You just do it for a little bit. You don't do it if the cat's freaking out and not ready for that. And then when the cat's calm during this cuddle session, you end it by just opening up the blanket and letting it leave on its own terms. So after a while, you'll find you'll put that blanket on your lap and the cat will jump into the blanket because it knows this is cuddle time. It's actually amazing to see how much they crave our attention and how much they want touch, even when they didn't grow up with it, even when you think, oh, that cat just is aloof. No, not really. Not once they learn to trust. You're going to have a cat who's like rubbing up against your legs and purring and in your arms and in your lap. And when you got that happening, it's ready to introduce the next person. So that's how that works with cats and dogs. Now, I had a whole bunch of Canada songs to refer to today. And I lost my little strip of paper about my little Canada songs on there. So I'm going to have to just wing it. But what I was saying before about taking care of the earth and the fires and the water and the lakes, Joni Mitchell said it really well, didn't she? Paved paradise and put up a parking lot. And that was a long time ago. There's one more Canadian song for you. And I guess since this is the pet show, I'm not going to be able to sing all my Canadian songs today. There's way too many. Been to the desert on a horse with no name. And there's a really funny meme out there on Facebook and going around where the horse, it's a photograph of a guy riding a horse, cowboy. And the horse has a little caption where he says, "You know my name. My name is Buck. You know my name." And yeah, you should know your horse's name. And you should give your horse a name and your cats and your dogs and your puppies. Because makes a big difference to their life. So what's in a name? Does it really matter? Well, you might notice that all the police dogs have a one-syllable name, right? Because it shouldn't take two syllables for them to know you're talking to them. That's twice as long. So if you're talking about precision and you want a dog that responds fast, you need a name that can be shortened to one syllable. It's okay if you call him Joey or well, anything, really. It's okay if you have a long name with an E on the end when you're hanging around the house. But you need one syllable that you can bark out at the park really loud and he knows you're talking to him. Mm-hmm. So one of my poodles, she's passed now, but her name was Razzle Dazzle Raspberry. Okay, so if I was in the park situation and there's about to be a fight and I want my little poodle to come back to me and not get into trouble, and I start yelling, Razzle Dazzle Raspberry, Razzle Dazzle Rep. Okay, it's going to take a long time, right? So she would come to the word Raz. And that's what you have to do. You just have to teach them both. You have to make sure, and most of our dogs pick it up anyway. They learn all their nicknames and you send them to somebody else's house. Maybe grandma speaks a different language and she starts calling him her pet name for him in another language and you find the dog knows that name too within a day, right? Especially if it was accompanied with treats. So if you have a long name for your dog, you might want to teach it the short form too. Okay, so Prancing Cinnamon Teddy Bear in an emergency knows his name is Ted, right? He just knows. Peachy knows her name is Peach if I really need it. Now, these are not good names. The name Peach is a terrible name for a police dog because even when you say Peach as one syllable, the end of it gets cut off. It's not a good name for calling out. So if you want a precision dog and you want a dog that listens really, really fast and you think you're going to be in situations like this, you should name him something that you can that's got a really long vowel in it and where you can really call it out. Now, most of us with pets want names that have a syllable at the end. We want two-syllable names and that have a vowel at the end. So it's a sing-song. Bella, lady. These are great. These are great names for pet dogs because they don't need to listen in the first second, but they need to be able to recognize their name, right? Bella, lady, Micah. All these names are terrific. And I would suggest that Bella and Luna are perhaps the most overused names right now. It used to be Maggie and Molly. So if you want to call your dog and not have other dogs come, and if you want to call your dog and have your dog sure that you're talking to her, then you might want to steer clear of those names. Another thing to be aware of is names that rhyme with no, particularly the name Bruno. I've seen a lot of problems over the years with that name. Three times in my training career, I've had to suggest someone with a dog called Bruno change the name. And in one case, they just changed his name to Brew. Another case, there was a Juno, and I asked them to change the name, and they changed her name to Juna. Okay, so why is this important? Some dogs hear the syllable no within their name, and that's all they hear. So in the case of Bruno, he thought his name was Brew, and every time they called him, they were telling him no. Brew, no. Brew, no. Well, that's not very positive. So he stopped listening to them. He sort of became surly and sour and unpleasant, and he avoided people most of the time, like you would if you were being told no all the time when you weren't even doing anything wrong, right? So as soon as they switched his name to Brew, he stopped misbehaving completely. He was a so happy dog because he wasn't being scolded all the time. And the same happened with Juno. Juno got her name changed to Juna. And Juno, who had been a little bit submissive and a little bit shy, she was still friendly and loving, but always like she'd come up to you, cowering and wagging her tail at the same time, as if to say, please, please don't be mad at me. Please don't be mad at me. And I would look at her and think, what? You're such a good little dog. You're a good little border collie. You're amazing. And like a Malamute border collie cross, little white and black thing, super fast, smart, sharp, did nothing wrong. Why is she looking like she's so unhappy? And so when she was staying here for a week, I just tried calling her Juna. And sure enough, she comes over bright-eyed, ears up, tail up, bouncing. Dun, 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 dun. So obviously, they weren't able to shorten the name. That wouldn't be appropriate. So they just changed it from Juno to Juna. And now she's not being scolded every time she's being called. A long, long time ago, there was a dog named Milo. That was the first time I ever encountered this. It was probably 40 years ago, maybe. 30 years ago anyway. And he had to have his name changed. Same thing. So if you've accidentally named your dog something that rhymes with the word no, and you've got a dog who seems like he feels guilty all the time or seems like he's just not happy, then try it. Give him a nickname or shorten his name or change the end syllable. Just take the no out of his life. And I think you'll find a remarkable improvement. I mean, when you think about it, they don't really understand all of our words. Most dogs understand 30 commands or 30 phrases or words. Some have been able to demonstrate over 300, which is a lot. But most of the time, like that Far Side cartoon, they're just listening to us, la, 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 walk, la, 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 their name, la, 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 car, la, 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 supper, right? They're just listening to that. So if you're listening to la, 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 no, la, 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 no, la, 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 no, all the time, it's going to change your mood, right? We need positive vibes. We need our animals to be, and especially when they're good dogs. They don't understand why they're being scolded and it makes no sense to them. So sort it out, change the name, and you'll have incredible improvement right away. I was going to sing one more song, an Alanis Morissette song, because she's got one hand in her pocket and the other one has dog treats, I bet. So there you go. I got it in my last song. Happy Canada Day, everybody. And happy 4th of July. And I hope everybody stays safe. It's going to be hot out there. I have a big gig coming up, July 26th and 27th. I hope you'll all be, if you're in the Vancouver area, come on out to Mission Folk Fest. It's really affordable compared to all the other folk festivals. It's really affordable and it's really safe. It's a beautiful venue. It's in a place called Heritage Park, which has views of the river and the mountains. You can see Mount Baker and you can see North Shore Mountains. And it's just an incredibly beautiful, beautiful park with trails in the back. You could have a lovely day hiking and visiting the park, but also the Folk Fest. The Folk Fest has several stages going all day long and then the main stage at night. There's a workshop stage where I'll be at the end of the day. I get the finale on Saturday and Sunday, and I'll be doing a hootenanny, a sing-along. So I'm hoping people will come, bring your guitar, sit in the audience, and strum along if you know the songs. Bring a drum, bring shakers, bring your voices, bring your kids, and bring a lawn chair, bring a blanket. There's going to be restaurant carts, and it's an incredible event, really small scale. Lots and lots of people come to it, but it's just organized in such a beautiful and clean and safe way. It's my favorite folk festival. So, and yeah, I've been to quite a few. So this one's going to be good. And we're going to be singing some of those songs I was singing earlier, Canadian songs, but also, we'll of course, do Bob Dylan, and we'll do Cat Stevens, and we'll do the Beatles, and we'll do Elvis, and we'll do requests. I've got my guitar man, Matt McRae, and panel on congas, and me singing my little heart out, and we'll be getting loads of audience participation. So come on out to the Mission Folk Fest. It's so good. It is so good. If you want to bring kids and you're thinking, oh, but what about the crowds? What about the safety? No, this is the one to go to. You can't bring dogs unless they're service dogs. So I should say that right off the top. But bring your kids and come on out. And if you are looking for something for dogs, Waterfront District in Vancouver has a big dog party happening next weekend. So the first weekend in July. So you should check that out. That's online. But I want you to come on the 26th and the 27th to the Mission Folk Festival and come to the gazebo. It'll be nice and shady. And check out the sing-along. Join in the hootenanny. We're going to have a great time. All right, everybody, so from me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party Pet Life Radio, be good to your animals. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.